listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, it is Black Friday. You can get down right now to the Browns shop at First Energy Stadium, and you get a free drawstring bag with every $150 purchase. That is today from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. down there. All right, Dino, why don't we hear Jay Glazer talking about the Johnny Manziel situation.
Brown. He lied to the Cleveland Browns. And what I mean by that is he told the Browns that that video was old. And then, making it worse, he called the people involved with that and said, hey, cover this up for me. Make sure that they think it's old as well. That is why Johnny Manziel has been demoted all the way to number three.
It's always about the cover-up more than the act. Will he ever start in Cleveland again then?
It's up to Johnny, really. You know, look, it's amazing they have not cut cord with him at this point, but they're still saying, look, we want to see how he handles this situation. We want to see if he sulks, he goes in the tank, then obviously he's not our guy. But if we give him the situation and he rises up, that's what they're looking for. Look, it's Thanksgiving. Johnny, be thankful for this opportunity.
And there it is. So that's why when we kept hearing Mike Penn talk about trust and accountability, that's what it was. They basically lied to the coaches about what had happened over the weekend, lied about the video, got caught in the lie. So not only did he basically do exactly what he said he wasn't going to do, now he has gone out and lied about it to the team. And it's no wonder then that he was demoted, and it's no wonder that the action was so swift. I think for all the people who were looking at it and saying, you know, well, I don't really know what's going on, and I don't get it. He's a 22-year-old kid. Well, first of all, he said he wasn't going to do that, number one. Then he went and did it. Then he lied about it. So it's basically like a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie, and now you're dealing with the repercussions if you're Johnny Manziel.
And the biggest thing, and I'm not just going to, talk smack and go, oh, that's stupid and that's dumb, as I have in the past. I mean, we know his decision to go and do that over the course of the bye after being named the starter was all those things. But the one key thing, and it's still very prevalent with Johnny Manziel, is maturity and a lack thereof maturity. Because the first thing I think of when, a lie covers up a lie covers up a lie, or, a wrong, you do a wrong and then you try to cover up with a lie, and then you have to consistently, maintain that lie, and one becomes 100 if it gets that far down the line, is something of a teenager, and that's, where, hey, how'd you do on your test? I passed. Well, what'd you get? A 19 out of 20. Eventually that test is going to come home, or that report card will be there. And when it is not in line with the grade that you received in that class, is your parent not smart enough to backtrack their way to find out exactly what you got on the test that you lied about? So you got, 7 weeks of freedom in that lie, but ultimately the repercussion, that comes along with it after, and maintaining that lie for so long, it just makes no sense. It's something of it's like a kid.
It is a kid.
And the fact of the matter is, everyone can say he's 22, going to be 23 years old. He's paid a handsome amount of money to do next to nothing for the Cleveland Browns, but to maybe be the franchise quarterback here. And we've yet to see that shot because of his shortcomings and his maturity.
Certainly because of him. So it went back to, I think we were right on the mark on Friday when we said, don't be mad at Mike Pettine, be mad at Johnny Manziel. That certainly has been more than proven to be the case in this situation. So how does it play? Two things. How does it play in the locker room when you hear that, first of all, he treated getting named the starter like a joke by going and partying, which is kind of in everybody's face, number one. Then number two, you find out that he lied to the coaches about it. Does it make you feel like, I can't trust this guy? Or does this not even matter in the locker room? They feel like, okay, he's gotten what he deserves now.
50-50. I mean, you kind of, showed two sides of the coin here. And I think I would take on the stance of, that I kind of took on the stance early in the season when Josh McCown was the starter. Why am I discussing Johnny Manziel when he has zero impact on winning and losing football games? And at this point, he's the third-string quarterback. He's not going to help us win a football game. And then you pointed out, on Monday night, he might not even be in uniform being the third-string quarterback. So he has nothing to do with the game plan, nothing to do with the Baltimore Ravens, nothing to do with the 46 guys that are going to be dressed going to battle on Monday night. Okay, so it's like out of sight, out of mind, in some cases. But the other 50% of the guys who are the leaders of the locker room who are big on the culture and maintaining the culture of the locker room. Because there are times where you go through lulls in a season where it's just like, it's Groundhog Day. You're coming to work. You're going through, you know, and you want to, individuals like to break that monotony up, you know, with right. their actions, with music playing in the locker room, wins or losses. It's like you want to make it fun because this is your job. And you're, as I mentioned, you make a lot of money. So you want to keep it fun. And something like this happening could be a downer on top of an already down season.
Sure.
So I would think that the leaders of the locker room could do two things: is A, they're going to leave Johnny alone, or they're going to reel him in and have him continue to be the teammate. And I wouldn't be surprised, in closing, if Johnny Manziel, because of this and the shame that he's kind of brought on himself and his teammates and the Cleveland Browns, that if Johnny doesn't go back to some of his actions of last year, sitting by himself at lunch and kind of keeping to himself and having the headphones in, and but it's going to take a leader to say, we still love you. You're still our teammate. Yes, you're an idiot, but get your headphones off. I'll sit with you. Get your butt over here and sit with me at lunch. Let's go out and watch some extra, or let's go throw early. Let's go watch extra film, engage. Someone's going to have to do that, or else we're going to go back into old patterns of Johnny, where he's feeling sorry for himself, being a backup, and not living up to the hype of Johnny football.
And we know that's what Josh McCown has done, and that's what has been key in some of the development for Johnny, even though he's gotten off the rails here. The other part I wanted to ask you from a locker room standpoint is the fact that this story gets to Jay Glazer. How does that make – do players notice that? Does it make them feel maybe a lack of trust for
– Majority don't.
Nobody will even care.
Majority don't. No, majority won't connect the dots to know that, how did he even find out? I mean, guys sometimes are so in the dark, it's like, are there microphones around that I'm not, they just don't know,
Right.
And they don't understand the path of the telephone,
sure.
What I mean? Meaning uh-huh. they were, who was in the, well, then it's, and then it becomes a process of elimination. You go, who was in the meeting with Johnny Manziel? Kevin O'Connell, Mike Pettine, John DeFilippo.
Based on what he said.
Correct.
Yep.
So it's process of elimination. And then, and this is, a small percentage of guys really care to put this all together. Then they go, Flip's the first-time coordinator. He doesn't know Glazer.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell's 31 years old, and he's Johnny's boy. He doesn't know Glazer.
Right.
And I think because other stories have broken in regards, with Johnny Manziel, with Jay Glazer, so that's it's your assumption that Mike Pettine then took that information somewhere.
Right.
And I personally don't understand.
Or that somebody who, was connected to.
Correct.
Who knows? But somebody in the organization.
Correct.
Right.
Took that information outside this building.
Right.
And to me.
Do players care about that?
They do, because that's as hypocritical. That has everything to do with the culture you're trying to create. That's the upstairs versus the downstairs mentality that I always talked about that, was there in San Diego. It's like, man, you didn't want to go upstairs because it was actually there was 50-50. You knew when it was time to go sign a contract. You go upstairs to go sign a contract, or you go upstairs to lose your job. So it's like you didn't want to go upstairs. And I mean, it's like twice in your career do you want to go upstairs? You know what I mean? Hopefully
yep.
to sign two deals, once as a rookie
yep.
and once on that second deal. You never want to go up there that third time because you know it's trouble, right? And so that's, you always look at management as, that they're kind of against you because they want to pay you as little as possible and, put these parameters on you and handcuff you as a player. Whereas like your coaches, you develop the relationship because you're with them all the time.
Right.
And so you develop trust and you develop a culture of let's do it together. And now more so than ever, as I've stated, coming off of the Cincinnati loss, coming out of the Pittsburgh loss with a bye, I'm being critical, if I'm Mike Pettine, of everything that goes on over the next 6 weeks. Because these are the guys that could potentially have an opportunity to come back, and the guys that I know that gave up on me that I don't want to be a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, and I think it just brings back the whole trying to unify everything here together, and one player did something that hurt that unity, and then now it's out there. Because it's a tough thing, right? Do you go to the media and just straight out come out and say, this is what happened? Or do you do it kind of back channel ways? Either way, I don't think it ultimately seems to be a positive for the Browns.
And in Johnny's case,
and it goes back, by the way, to Johnny Manziel.
It absolutely does. But in Johnny's case, and in the Glazer report, it's all eventually gonna get out. You know? So you might as well be as forthright as possible and come out and say it and be honest.
Yeah, tough situation, and unfortunately that's what happens when you put your coach in a bad situation, when you don't conduct yourself like a professional and then go ahead and lie about it. Let's go to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. Mike in Dayton, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right. First of all, I want to say I have the utmost respect for both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, can I say something about the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry?
Of course. Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, I had an injury and lost my eye. And the doctor down here, he happened to be an alumni for Ohio State and had season tickets. Told me I could have any tickets I wanted any game, so I took the Michigan game.
Smart man.
And all I remember, I was 13 years old, I remember Bo Schembechler was the coach. I remember we lost. It was pouring down rain. But it was the only time I've seen the Buckeyes since then. And that's about all I have to say.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate the call. And it's cool, very cool story. And go Bucks or go Blue, depending on what side of the fence you sit on. We know we got the Buckeyes have shown up. I don't know if that's a sign. You're here. The kid is not here. I don't know if that's a sign for Saturday.
Never scared.
You think that? Well, I've heard that you were not as confident about this game as you were about some others.
Well, confidence wavered, and this was on the cusp of
the Michigan State loss.
The Michigan State loss, and how weak some of the best players on Ohio State's roster, and I'll name names. They're not listening. Cardale Jones and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, saying that they're going pro, and then the next coming days, you know what, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, giving, you know, reprieve on your comments. Oh, it was in the heat of the battle, and I just wanted to win so much, and I was just upset. That's all fine and good, but to me, you looked weak. The fact that you won 23 in a row, and at the first bit of adversity, you hit the eject button?
Yeah.
That, to me, was a huge sign of weakness, and for a few days, and Buckeye fans, I'm a Buckeye through and through, and y'all know that. I was like, you know what? Michigan's defensive front is better than Michigan State's. They are. That's pretty much what they hang their hat on.
Absolutely.
They don't hang their hat on their skill players. They don't hang their hat on a great defensive back end.
They hang their hat on butt.
They do. Yeah. And what's the other kid, the other receiver? They have another good receiver. On the cusp of the Michigan State game, as Ezekiel Elliott and Cardale Jones showed that huge sign of weakness on hitting the eject button, I didn't necessarily hit the eject button on the Buckeyes, but you know what? I go, you know what? They're going to be in for one with Harbaugh, that new mentality, that defensive front. Now, as I continue to say it, the template has been created to stop JT Barrett and Ezekiel Elliott in that zone read. And it's with physicality and penetration.
Yep.
And there's no one going to do it better in the Big Ten than Michigan this tomorrow.
Then the blue. That's right. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays itself out. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Also, did anybody get out early for Black Friday? I certainly didn't, but I took your advice. I don't know if you remember, you told me this, when a cyber deal started at Thursday at midnight, I got on right there and got it, and literally 2 minutes later, I went back and checked. By 12:05, it was gone.
That's the way it is, man. Cyber Monday coming up.
Yeah. Cyber Monday is coming up as well. Yes, indeed.
Save
lots
your
of
shekels,
deals.
Folks.
That's right. And support small. I think it's like Small Business Saturday. When you're supposed to support your local small
business.
Businesses.
Nice.
Yep, that's like Saturday. That. So a lot of commerce going on here in the next few days around this great nation. All right, we'll be back to more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.